This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of In Focus, heard weekends on KTBB 97.5 FM and KRWR, the Team 92.1 FM. You can join us each week as we interview those who help Tyler and Longview residents make their lives better. And as always, you can reach out with your thoughts on the show at KTBB.com/InFocus. That is KTBB.com/InFocus. My guest today, Michelle Mills with the BBB. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So we were sitting in my office and we were talking about what we would talk about on the show and what we would cover. And as we were talking, you and I are very conversational. We've known each other a very long time. Mm-hmm. And so I thought we would just kind of talk about the BBB, sure. The things that it can help with and the purpose of the BBB and how it can be used as a tool. So let's just start off with, say I have a contractor that comes to my home and doesn't do something right. Should my first reach out be to the BBB, or should I reach out to that contractor and try to get it right and give us every chance to get along before we engage you?
The answer is B. We would always encourage people to talk to the business that they have dealt with and try to communicate with them first. And that is usually what happens. What usually happens is the customer does try to talk to the business and then they have trouble reaching them, or they just won't make good on or they claim that the business is not making good on their promise, and then they come to us. So they come to us as a last resort. And so that's typically what happens. However, when somebody does call us and they haven't talked to the business first, we do say, have you talked to the business? Because we want that. We want to build bridges. That's why we're here. We want to build bridges between customers and businesses. What we really want people to do is come to us before, right? Before they choose a business, because then they can take a look at the company's history. They can look at the factual information, and they can also take a look at the subjective information. You know, taking a look at customers' experience. This is what my experience was with that company.
Let's drill down there a little bit.
Sure.
The value of the BBB. Let's talk about that value to a business. So all businesses in the area can be reported to the BBB for anything. And if you just, the BBB's website has a list of all businesses, but not all businesses are BBB accredited.
Correct. And that doesn't mean they're bad at all. It just means we do report on all businesses. The businesses who support our mission to foster marketplace trust, to connect consumers with businesses, they pay a membership fee. We're like the chamber, you pay. We're a 501c6 nonprofit. We do not seek grants, but we do seek membership. And so that's how we're funded.
So as a business, and I would be an example, and you know this, I have a business. Mm-hmm. I am not part of the BBB in that business, yep. But I have an A rating. Mm-hmm. Okay. So as a business owner, what value do I have by joining the BBB if I'm going to be able to be searched and found? And if there's bad news, there's bad news. Sure. But if you're a part of the BBB, it's a little more information than that, correct?
Yeah. So the BBB has been around since 1912. So we've been around for a very, very long time. And last year, 218 million people went to BBB.org. And only about 1 million of them filed a complaint. So very few people come to us for bad things. Most people come to us for information. So we're a very trusted source for information for people. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. And so we want to make sure that our money goes to the right places. And so we allow people to, they go on our website and they can make an educated decision about the companies that they want to deal with. So yeah, 218 million people went to BBB.org last year. So what, number one, what it does, it gives a company visibility. And if they go to BBB.org, they're not looking for a non-accredited business. So 80% of the time, they're going to choose somebody who's accredited, who has that seal, over somebody who doesn't. So if they're comparing couple of different businesses, they're more likely going to choose the company who supports the Better Business Bureau.
To put that number in perspective, there's 300 million and change in the country. Yeah. So better than two-thirds of the population. And I would argue more than that, maybe three quarters, because obviously a percentage of that population is 18 and under, who don't do anything but live off us. So when we're actually making these decisions, yeah. that's a huge percentage of the population. And you offer a safeguard for them, right?
Absolutely. And so with the businesses who join us, we have a set of core values, basically. And the business says, okay, I like those core values, and we want to incorporate them as well into our business practices. So that's kind of what they agree to. And one of those things is if somebody files a complaint, which, again, it's very rare that even happens. But if somebody does, then I will try to resolve it with that customer. It doesn't mean that I'm going to give in. It does mean, though, that I'm going to communicate, and we're going to try and work things out.
You can act as a liaison.
Absolutely.
That doesn't have an interest on either side other than to make sides
talk.
Happy.
We just want you to talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. So what, as a business owner, what do I get out of being a part of the BBB?
Sure. So in addition to the visibility, right, because when people are coming to us, they're going to choose an accredited business more times than not. We want to make businesses better. So we hold workshops for businesses. What we do every year is we survey all of our members, and we say, what do you want to learn about? What are your pain points? And then we design our curriculum for the following year based on that information. We also provide certifications. So some businesses need CEUs, or they want to get certified in different areas. We provide those certifications at discounted rates.
I'm challenged on acronyms. What's a CEU?
Continuing Education. Oh, my gosh. Unit. Wait.
Good enough.
Is that right? Continual Education Unit. Well, sorry.
Continuing Education Unit?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. You would be able to stack them.
Right, absolutely. Okay. So we provide different certifications on all these different things. So so regardless of what industry you're in, we have some kind of certification or a class that you can take, and we provide them. We have a partnership with an organization that puts these classes together, and they're accredited, and you will get your certification if that's what your company is. So we provide that for businesses. So that's a great value to them. We provide toolkits for businesses if they're depending on what phase of their journey they're on. We can give you what you need for that particular phase of your journey, whether you're a new business starting or whether you're succession planning. And everything in between. So we can help you with those types of things. If there's something going on in your particular industry, we do have reports on different industries when certain trends are happening in different industries, home healthcare or, home building or whatever it is. We provide different industry reports on that as well.
Let's look at those different industries, or as I've always been trained to call them SICs, different SICs.
Oh, what does SIC stand for?
Huh? Sick.
I'm just kidding.
So SIC is a code for business.
Yeah.
What type of code? Mm-hmm. Are restaurants, do they represent the biggest number of businesses in this town?
My goodness, we do have a lot of restaurants. I'm really grateful for that. But yes, we do have a lot of restaurants in this town. Restaurants, we have lots of roofing companies. We have a lot of service industries in our area. What else? A lot of financial institutions. We're pretty diverse, but we do have a high percentage of restaurants per capita than most cities our size, for sure.
Any other businesses jump out at you that we have an inordinate amount of besides restaurants?
Matt, we have a lot of
donut shops.
We have I used to own a donut shop. I did.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't think we can have enough donut shops. No, I'm just kidding. we have a lot of service industries here. So I would. Trying to think of what else. Financial institutions, we have a lot.
Okay, a lot of banks, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the recent past. So obviously the spring was pretty rocky here in East Texas. Mm. There was a lot of weather that happened, which would call for a lot of roofers.
Yep.
A lot of roofers in the area.
Right.
Which we have more now than we've ever had.
Yes.
Four now. Mm-hmm. So how did that shake out, that storm? Did you find that most of the roofing companies were holding their end of it up and not leaving customers high and dry and taking care of customers? Did you see, do you find that there's a difference between a local contractor and an out-of-town contractor?
Yeah, so we would always recommend that you choose a local company, not only to support our local economy, but also in case something goes wrong, it's a lot harder for that company to come back and fix it. So that's just logistics of it. Doesn't mean they're a bad company. I mean, just logistically, it's going to be difficult for them to come back. So the roofing industry was the number one searched industry during that season, and it'll be again. During that time of year, it is for us. Okay. So we'll have tens of thousands of people look up roofers on BBB.org. And again, most times they're going to choose somebody who is accredited, so we don't hear a whole lot of bad things.
Which I can tell you, in addition to what I do here at the station, being a contractor, I always tell people the way you find out whether you have a good contractor is when something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. When everything's right, anybody can be a hero. It's very easy, no right. problems. What happens when something goes wrong, how that contractor reacts, is the difference between a good contractor and a bad contractor. I have had something recently happen with a structure that I built, and the contractor that built it years later came back and honored the work and did everything right and fixed the problems. I can remember roofing a geodesic home, which is those kind of roundy dome homes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They're different than a conventional home. And we roofed the whole thing, and it leaked at every seam because we'd never done it before.
Yeah.
So at my own cost, I re-roofed it. And that's kind of what a good I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm saying in general, good contractors will honor their work because you either do it right or you don't.
Right.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah, and that's why it is important to do your research ahead of time. Go online, do your research on the companies you're thinking about using, and then make an educated decision. And so that's one of the reasons that we're here.
We're seeing more and more new businesses prop up from people that are, I call it metro flighting, from the Austin area, the California area, all coming here because it's affordable housing, great medical care. Mm-hmm. I guess we're one of the, our medical hub is unbelievable.
It's amazing.
I've watched it in the 20 years that I've been an adult here. I've seen basically the town go from a oil and gas town to a medical town.
Right.
And that's what we are now.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, we have one of the best Parkinson's doctors in the country here.
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean, we're a level 4 trauma center, mm-hmm. All these things. And when you're looking, do doctors, are they a part of the BBB?
They are. They are. And now they have to follow HIPAA and all of that stuff. So some things they are not shared on our website, but they do support the Better Business Bureau. And so, we have doctors, we have hospitals, all types of people in the medical profession are BBB accredited.
And when you're in the medical field and you're accredited through the BBB, obviously you want that to give your potential patient or client a warm, fuzzy feeling. But do you find many people resolve their differences medically through the BBB when it comes to that?
No, we do not. We would refer them somewhere else. Usually people in that industry, it is for community support. And a lot of businesses just do that for not just for the credibility, but just because they want to show support for our community. Because BB, Better Business Bureau offices, we're local, we're boots on the ground, I lost my train of thought. Boots on the ground, and so by supporting your local Better Business Bureau, those funds stay here in your local community.
The metro flighters that are moving in, are they requiring different businesses than we required before here in town?
I think technology is always changing everything, and I don't think. No, back in the day, even we used to have I don't know if you remember Welcome Wagon and companies like that. Well, you'd think that that would be happening right now, but it's really not. So I'm really surprised at that. So I don't think it's changed a whole lot. Maybe more restaurants.
Well, and, you know? I remember the late Don Schuyler was always a part of things that you guys did, ribbon cutting ceremonies and all that. And that's why I was kind of asking. I just wondered if, like, when people came in from an obviously a larger metro area, because we're getting large, but I like to say in the past 10 years, I think we've moved from a really big small town to a small city. You know, we're becoming more urban. Downtown is really getting revitalized, and nothing's more exciting than that, other than maybe the medical school.
Yeah,
we're gonna. We're
oh my
gonna
goodness,
have.
That! And I will say that there does seem to be more, I guess, variety in the. In the types of food that restaurants that are opening up, if you've noticed, you know, we've got more Japanese restaurants and maybe more farm to table type restaurants and things like that, that we might, that I don't recall having back in the day.
What denotes farm to table? I always wondered about that.
Well, I think they actually
use
local farms and
Okay. Yeah. There are lots of
pressure. Less preservatives.
Which matters.
Absolutely. I try to eat like that all the time.
Do you guys do farms?
Sometimes, yes, but I grow vegetables. I grow my vegetables and...
Oh, your own.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm, yeah. Or I love going to the farmer's market too, so... Yeah, I'd rather get something very, very fresh than something that's preserved.
Very lucky here. We've got a great farmer's market that's in the mall parking lot that's on Saturdays. The one downtown that we had downtown, it kind of moved over to the East Texas Brewing Company.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. And it's a little...
It's hopped around a little bit.
Yeah, and it's a little... It's not so much just a vegetable stand as you can get novelties and, you know, cool stuff like that in.
Yeah. I was there. We were there this past weekend. I think there might have been a couple vegetable stands, but...
Right, but you're going to see flowers. Uh-huh. You're going to see... Like, I got the best. They sell you a bag of picante sauce ingredients. Oh. So you make your own salsa.
Nice.
And they give you everything to do it except the oil. You just add the olive oil in it.
And that's a good idea.
Really good idea. Yeah. And it makes really good salsa, too.
Have you tried the Indian food thing? They have the little, like, pre-made Indian food stuff. Like you just add the... Like,
I am...
Not there yet.
No, okay. I'm not. I don't know why. I've never been a huge fan of curry.
Oh.
And I was thinking curry is heavily involved in an Indian food, isn't it? It's a big ingredient in there. Do we have Indian? How many Indian restaurants? I know we have a couple of Mediterranean restaurants.
We really don't. We used to have a couple really good ones. Like there was one at one of the hotels a long time ago that was very, very good. And then there was that Taj Mahal that I shut down during the pandemic. So, but since then, not really. But a lot of people really love it. It's very rich, like a lot of deep, rich flavors in it. So you should try it.
I'm a barbecue guy. You mentioned the rich history of the BBB. Mm-hmm. How did it start and why?
So back in the 1900s, in the age of potions and lotions and snake oil salesmen is when BBB kind of started. And they actually started as advertising vigilance committees. And it was to call out false advertising. So that's how BBB started. And then it just kind of grew from there. And now we are in all of North America, Canada, Mexico, U.S., and we have about 90 offices all across North America.
Do you have a corporate headquarters?
We do. Arlington, Virginia, D.C. area is where
our
corporate headquarters is.
With the Pentagon.
Right.
The BBB and the Pentagon.
That's right,
to the Pentagon?
Yeah, we're just like next door neighbors. Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's very official.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many people does the BBB employ? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to guess several thousand.
Okay.
Because there are some offices like ours that we have about 12 people in our office, but then you have offices like in the Great Northwest area who probably have a couple hundred employees or something like that, I would guess. So,
You have a very pretty office.
Oh, thank you.
I've been there. It's right on Copeland, right?
Yes.
Right on Copeland Road. Do you have a lot of people go there?
We do. We actually, when we built it actually during the pandemic, and we designed it to be a community center. And so we actually have one third of our building is a classroom. And so we host classes there. Businesses use it to teach their own classes there. We've had even churches use it for retreats. Like it's available even when we're not in the office. And so, so we have a lot of people come use the classes, and we do have people that still want to come in and talk about things rather than just do things over the internet, which we do a lot of as well.
It's bbb.org.
Yes.
Is the web address, the URL address. That's bbb.org. I should have given that out sooner. What classes do you offer?
Let's see. This past month, we have three. This past month, we did, you're going to have to make me look at our calendar. It was about securing your finances. So it was about money. It was about SBDC came and spoke about how to get funding if you need it for your business. It's available, low interest rates and things like that, and just kind of talk that out. We have done things like lead generation this year. This year, the biggest pain point for people was how to hire people, how to attract people, how to keep people. And so we had a couple of different workshops on different aspects of HR. And then we usually have a law class, because the labor laws are always, updating. And so we have somebody come speak to us about that. And then we also always do a tax update as well. So, because, that always changes.
So really, you almost serve businesses more than you serve the public.
The things that we offer, so for the consuming public, we offer information, right? Here's information, make a good decision, make good choices with your money. That's what we're here to do. And also to be a mediator in case something happens where you have a conflict with a business or whatever. But yes, we really, it's in our name, Better Business Bureau. And so we want to help make businesses better. And we ask them for their input on what that means to them. And so that's how we tailor our curriculum. Locally, that's what we do.
So. You mentioned something in one of your examples a while ago that really just has my attention, as it has most businesses right now: hiring people. Mm. I don't know that it's ever been harder to hire people. I have a friend who's my age, which I'm closer to 60 than anything else, which is about the age of a lot of business owners before they walk away in another 10 years. So they're hiring people. I get the scariest stories. I had one of my friends say that they put an ad up on Indeed with the salary that the job paid. They interviewed, I don't want to make this about millennials or whatever, right? Because so I won't, but if I haven't already done that. But these people would come to interview, and they would, in the first interview, it would be like, look, I'll be able to work in the office on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday and Friday, but Wednesdays I need to work remotely. And the salary, we need to talk about that. I'm not going to be able to do this for the salary I'm going to need. And in a lot of cases, it's twice what he put out there.
Wow.
And he said he's just looking at these applicants and is just left, what in the world are you thinking? Why did you answer this ad?
It's just a different mindset. And so if, I'm available if anybody wants to talk about hiring practices, like one-on-one. But it is a very different mindset, and they can do that nowadays.
Right? Yeah, no, they...
Because they're, yes, and that's why they do it. I am very grateful. We've had good luck in our offices. So I try to teach people that. I just did a workshop for the Better Business Bureaus character-based, basically hiring. Mm-hmm. And so values-based leadership is what it was about.
So you can teach somebody a job description. You can't teach someone character.
Correct.
Okay.
So hire based on character.
That's
so,
right.
And one of my favorite books for leadership is called The Ideal Team Player. It's by Patrick Lencioni. It's a super easy read. You can read it in half an hour, probably in a couple hours. But it is based on different virtues and what virtues you should look for in a team player. And so
what are those?
Humility. So there's humble, hungry, and smart. And they're talking about people smart. Like, you know, like just we were talking about earlier, somebody's having a bad day. You kind of know, like, not to just run over them that day or whatever. Just, that, you know, just, and it makes you a better team player. And so typically people are weaker in one or two of those areas. So it's easy to coach. If somebody's, you know, if somebody's not hungry, not driven, you can, you know, that you need to set goals and, you know, more goals for them. You might have to micromanage them a little bit. If somebody is not humble, for us, we don't hire them. You know, that's just if they so it starts from that. It starts from the hiring process. So you want to make sure you bring those good people onto your team. But you're always going to have to coach them in one of those areas, probably, to keep them a good team player.
Our owner hired me 25 years ago out of the auto industry. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, I didn't know anything. I told him. I was like, I don't know anything about radio, so I don't care.
Yep.
I can teach you radio.
Yep.
You know, but and I'm also, for a sales guy, I'm not the most ambitious guy. I'm pretty happy where I am in life. And so my theory is that you always need a well-rounded staff of these high-maintenance go-getters that exhaust themselves and do everything else in chase of the money. In search of the money and what comes with the money.
Yep.
And then you need your other people that are going to worry about relationships and making sure things stand good. Because usually I've found that people don't have both those skill sets. They either have one or the other. Now, an ambitious person can certainly be empathetic. I'm not saying that's impossible. And an empathetic person can be somewhat ambitious. Mm-hmm. But the truth is we're blessed with different skills.
Right.
And I don't know, ambition, different gifts.
Yes.
And I believe that ambition is a gift. I don't believe you can make yourself ambitious. I think you're either hungry for it. My son's hungry for it. Yeah. He wants to be a success. He wants to have Porsches and Lamborghinis and a big house. And I just don't care.
Right.
That doesn't make me less of a good worker.
Yeah.
It just means I serve a different purpose.
Yeah.
And I think that these great businesses that I go in, the owners or their HR people seem to be able to create a balance.
Right.
So that these, because typically you get too many ambitious people in the room at the same time, they'll eat each other.
Correct. And morale is terrible and all of that. So absolutely, you definitely need a balance. You know, but you can coach people to be more. You can teach people how to be more humble.
We can, and for sure.
Yeah, but you're always going to have to.
Life can too.
But also people are going to go back to the natural state. So it's something. It's not a one and done thing. You're always going to have to be doing that with different people. The good thing is because there's different people with different strengths and weaknesses, they will balance each other out because they'll learn from one another too. If you've developed that type of a team mindset.
And of course, the younger generation expects a lot more from their employers than what the older generation. I was wondering, it's a question I've been wanting to ask you for a while. Again, I am not one of these get off my lawn guys. Okay. But I realize culture changes over time. It just does. We are, right now, I think the younger culture, we have been helicopter parents and bulldozer parents and made it kind of easy for them. So I say all this to say, do you see a place in the future for the older workers because we kind of have a different view of work than the younger people? Will they be hanging on to us longer?
I think leadership is going to be lacking, right? So we're going to need to be there for that, so mentorship at some point. And building relationships because, you know, I think people are kind of, the relationships now are very digital. They're not in person. I think there's still going to be
that. And it's also contentious, if we're honest. I mean, we live in a very contentious time. I'm
very much so.
I'm personally, I was so involved in it several years ago that I've actually just scaled back and become more mute in how I approach people. I don't lead with my feelings or whatever anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that these kids, when I'm sitting here bashing them for the way they interview, I think they're also a product of their environment, which they've seen people get punished for their opinions and everything else. So they just kind of want to do their job and be left alone.
Yeah, for sure. And they're brilliant, too. They learn things so quickly.
Easy.
It's amazing. There's something to be gained from them as well. And it's just, they are the product of their environment. So I think it is still up to us to kind of show them how to lead and show them why relationships in-person relationships are important.
Well, we've been talking with Michelle Mills of the BBB. She's not only a client of mine, she's a friend of mine who I enjoy talking with. You can go to thebbb.org if you want to see what the BBB is all about. Michelle and I walked into this interview today just to have a conversational interview about maybe some things that might help you understand the purpose of the BBB and also some of their involvement in the community. I hope it's been helpful for you. I can tell you that if you ever need anything from the BBB, not only will Michelle help you, but there's a complete staff dedicated to you. So, Michelle, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lonnie.
All right.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.